Good morning, everybody, and an especially warm welcome if you're visiting the church or are here with us for the first time. And please do stay on with us for a cup of coffee or cup of tea in the foyer after the service. Later in the day, there's interactive worship at 11:30, and then this evening, reflective worship at 6:30. A few items of, pastoral and personal news. Rose Oeming Barley has broken a bone in her wrist, and we have four people in hospital: Michael Burgess, Margaret Fiskin, Joan Mackay, and Munro Mackay. During the coming week, on Saturday, the 11th of August, the Open Gardens programme moves to the Ashdowns House, and it does include access to a television set for the Olympics, should you not want to drag yourself away from your own big screen. Looking further ahead, just a further mention that we are looking for volunteers for early September, especially between Friday the 7th and Sunday the 9th, when there'll be a number of events taking place here as part of our 350th anniversary celebrations. These include the Flower Festival from Friday to Sunday and our own Heritage Open Day on Saturday the 6th. And we just need some people to help us manage these events. If you think you'd like to help look after our visitors, please have a word with Liz Borthwick, Liz Cook, or Theresa James.
And the final bit of pastoral news, which it's not really appropriate for Vaughan to mention, is the fact that on Saturday, Vaughan and Theresa's daughter, Louisa James, is getting married to Chris Impey. So we will remember them in our prayers this week. That's them being Chris and Louisa rather than Vaughan and Theresa, eh? We know that we are, of course, part of a heritage that goes back through time to Jesus, but we would celebrate the fact that there has been a church, a nonconformist church, on this site for 350 years. So we say together, we are Kingston United Reformed Church. We celebrate our diversity of worship and freedom of relationship with the state. With the whole Christian church, we will follow Jesus. We will serve him in our community and in our daily lives in the strength of the Holy Spirit. We gather in the name of Jesus, the bread of God that comes from heaven and gives life to the world. We join to sing, I come with joy to meet my Lord. Let us join together to pray. Let us pray. Mysterious God, we come looking for a sign of your power and your greatness, and find that you have come among us as one of us. We come looking for proof that you are the God of our salvation, and find you crucified upon a cross. We come wanting a miracle to make you known to us, and find you present with us as we share our bread. Come close to us, God of the morning, that we may see your glory in each new day. Come close to us, God of the moonday sun, that we may see your glory as each week passes. Come close to us, God of the evening, that we might see your glory as year turns to year. Come close to us, God of the night time, that we might rest in your glory at the passing of our lives. Come close to us as we worship. Be close to us, and may we know it in the living of life when we leave this place. Lord, we pray. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So in the medal ceremonies, just before they play God Save the Queen, which they've done a lot, they play something else. Have you noticed it? Heard it? They play the Vangelis music, which is the theme in Chariots of Fire, which is the story of Olympics, yes, and particularly, from our point of view, somebody who is in our heritage, actually. He's a Congregationalist, and his name, Eric Little. And he's known to many people as a really rather pedantic man who refused to run on a Sunday. But I would like to suggest to you that one of the golden features of him is that he would run. And his story is that when he would run, he said, I feel God's pleasure. When I run, I feel God's pleasure. When I run, for he was an Olympian, I feel God's pleasure. And that, my friends, opens the door for all of us. What do you do that when you do it, you feel God's pleasure? Could be something massive. Could be something little. Obviously, in my case, it's gardening. So I don't feel God's pleasure ever. No, that's... What do you do that when you do it, you feel God's pleasure? and then to do it as well as you can. We're going to sing. Lord Jesus Christ. It was not last week, the week before, that we looked at the bits on rest and getting away and being quiet. That was sort of part of the setting. Then it's the feeding of the 5,000. And this is the conversation that is happening after that. What does that feeding mean? Can we have more of that, please? And this passage is going to be read for us by Ron Kingham. And as a big treat to those of you who love it, he's reading it from the authorized version. And for those of you who don't, I suspect the projection will be from the Good News. So for all of us, it'll be a bit of an education, will it not?
Thank you, Leslie.
And the reading is from the sixth chapter of the Gospel of St. John, verses 24 to 35. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then they said unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth me shall never thirst.
Work for that which is going to last eternally. The story, as I said, comes after the feeding of the 5,000, the conversation afterwards. They ate their fill, and they want more of that, please. These are people for whom life is physically demanding, and someone gave them food without effort. Who would not want that? And we were talking about this story last week at the 11:30 service, and somebody wondered whether these people had ever experienced what it was to be physically full. When we come at communion, we eat, and the bread that we don't use, we get rid of. In our tradition, we just chuck it away. But the analogy is that the Spirit fills us and we are full of the Spirit. And then when we leave this place, our job is that the Spirit would flow through us and flow out. The call of Jesus on those who were listening and those who would listen to him still is to live your life in the context of that which is eternal. To live your life around things that will last. Now, actually, to have this sort of idea of legacy is not a Christian truth. Anybody who teaches well is involved in legacy. Anybody who parents a child well is involved in legacy. Anybody who invents something is involved in legacy. Anybody who engineers something to make it work in a more efficient way is involved in something that is eternal and will go on. All those examples, and there are loads more, are about people who are working for more than bread. And equally, there are people who are doing jobs that other people would think of as a wee bit menial, jobs that are not socially very valuable, But their attitude to that work means that they are inspiring the people around them, and they too are working for something that is more than bread. This is a story from a fantastic book which I recommend. I've done it before. It's written by a guy called Mark Green, and it's called Thank God It's Monday. In the building where I used to work, there was a lift operator called Frank. He stood at the bank of lifts in the main entrance and ensured that an even balance of lifts going up and lifts coming down. For many people, this might be a menial, repetitive task with little opportunity to shine. But day in and day out, Frank would have a smile for everyone as they came to work. Frank would greet us by name. He seemed to know all our names. He would tell us to have love in our hearts. Frank was a lift operator, but people didn't see the menial drudgery in his job. They saw in it an opportunity to transmit love and joy, to make people look forward to their day and help them overcome the frustrations of their journey to work. One person even walked round the block to come in at Frank's entrance so that she would start her day with a warm welcome from Frank. I don't know whether Frank was a Christian, but people saw his job in the light of his cheerful, giving spirit. When he retired, my company gave him a significant chunk of our shares. He didn't even work for us. He worked for the owner of our building, but he made a difference. Work, of course, in this context, I'm not talking merely about paid employment. I also want to make it quite clear that those who have the challenges in their I'm not saying that those who work for charities and those who work for churches are involved in eternal purposes in the way that those who work for other organizations are not. That's nonsense. There are plenty of ministers of religion who are working for bread and not in the context of eternity. I can be rude about ministers of religion because I am one. In this day, in what small way will I be part of something that is big? Or will I content myself with my pension, my benefits, my salary, my pay? In what way will I work for eternity? It's not going to be massive. It's not going to be massive. It's not what I'm talking about. I do not want any one of you thinking to yourself, well, I can't do everything. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that for any of us. For every single one of us, it will be tiny. So let me change gear. The danger is that when we look at the story of Jesus and bread that will last forever, and think about Holy Communion, think about bread of eternal life, and Jesus saying, I am the bread, all that stuff, that we think, aha, here we go, bread, and we take it to another level, and we forget about the fact that actually in the world today, there is an issue about people being hungry and people needing bread. 925 million people in the world are hungry, according to Christian Aid. 925 million people in the world are hungry. And that is in a world where there is enough food to feed everybody. And in Britain today, there's the whole growth of the food bank movement. And this week in Kingston, we gave out parcels to people who came in needing food. And I've had conversations with members of the church who said that the money ran out in the middle of the month. And one relative stepped in for 1 week and another relative stepped in for another week to give them enough food. And just before anybody thinks it, these are people where they're both working. And the money ran out for food. So around us, there are people who are hard up and there are people who are struggling. And we need to remember the words of Jesus about the bread of life in that context too. And for a number of people, that might be that hardship of some of the citizens around us. That might well be the context in which we work for the things that are eternal. That might be the context. But for others of us, the majority of us, it will not be. So at this table, we remember those who would crave bread, as well as we remember those who would crave news of that which is eternal. And there they are, together on a silver plate. Bread on a silver plate. So the question that we're left with as we take bread and as we drink, as I am in God's presence here now, am I living all my days aware of God's presence? And that, let me say it again, because some people won't hear me. That means that's in your house, in your relationships, in your bank, in your office, in your gym, in your factory, in your regiment, wherever it is. Am I thinking, as I'm doing the small things, about the eternal context in which I live every day? The causes that we are a part of matter. So does our individual behavior. Let me read you this story and then I will stop. Lewis Trippett was a lawyer working for a telephone company. One day, a woman came in from the accounts department. He'd never seen her before. She asked him if he was Lewis Trippett. With some trepidation, he replied, "Yes, I am." She said, "You are the only one in this department with any integrity. Don't change. Everybody else abuses their expenses." Then she left abruptly as she had come. Little things that make a difference. Let us be still. Let us pray for those who are hungry in this land. For those whose kitchen is a soup kitchen. For those whose only food is what others don't want. Whose diet depends on luck and not planning. Lord, feed your people using our skills and conscience, and eradicate from our politics and private lives the apathy to hunger which comes from overeating. Let us pray for the hungry in other lands, where economies burdened by debt cannot respond to human need, or where fields are farmed for our benefit by low-waged workers courted by starvation. Lord, feed your people, even if rulers must cancel debt and shareholders lose profit or diners restrict their choice in order that all may be nourished. Let us pray for those who hunger for justice, those who document inequalities, who demonstrate against tyranny, who distinguish between need and greed, and who are sometimes misrepresented or persecuted in the process. Let us pray for those who work for the causes of eternity, who challenge their company's ethos, and who find the demands of maintaining their personal integrity immense. O bread of life, who refused food for yourself in order to nourish others, guide us in our choices. And in our causes. And in the way that we live each day. And we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So let's continue our worship as we make our offering. Let's pray. And money and bread and wine represent, O God, that we recognize that all of life is yours, not just a part of it. And the running and the swimming, the diving, all of it. And the days of our lives are yours too. Bless this offering that we make. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. The hymn you will find at number 456, O Bread to Pilgrims Given. some practical things before we move into the rest of the communion. We believe that this is the Lord's table. It is not ours. It is the Lord's. And if you would wish to eat and drink with us, then you are very welcome so to do. If that's not right for you, then when the elders bring the bread and the wine to you, please just pass them by. It's great that you're here. When you see the plate, you will notice that it's bread and there's biscuit. The biscuit is for those of us who have issues with wheat and with gluten. Please, that's for you. And the wine has no alcohol in it for those of us who have issues with alcohol. When you get the bread, have a moment and then eat it. When you get the wine, hold it and we will all drink together. All you who are thirsty, this is the place for water. All you who are hungry, this is the place to be fed. Why spend your earnings on what is not food? Why pay for that which fails to satisfy? Here, without money, here, without price, all may enjoy the bread of heaven. God speaks, and all who listen will have life into eternity. And here again, the words of the institution of this feast, as they are given by the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord, which I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper and saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So taking bread and wine, we give thanks. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for this day, for being alive in this day, for being here on this day. Thank you, God, for food to eat and clean water in our taps. Thank you. Thank you that we are not here on our own, but there are other people who would talk to us. Thank you. Thank you for the skill of the athletes that we have watched. Thank you for the organization of the Olympic Games. Thank you for the joy that is in the air and the unlikely celebration of Britishness. Thank you for this season when people take a bit more time. Thank you for the gifts of holidays. Thank you for the small things that make a big difference. And thank you too for the biggest of gifts. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the life that he lived, for the things that he said that we have in our memory and recorded for us. Thank you for his death. Thank you for his resurrection. And thank you for the transforming power of your Holy Spirit in us and through us, in and through this bread and this wine. Bread of life, cup of heaven, here, now. Thank you. Amen. He took bread. He gave thanks. He broke it. This is my body, he said, broken for you. Took the cup, wine poured out. This is my blood, he said, shed for you. The body of Christ. blood of Christ. Let us pray. Fed at your table and strengthened for your service, fed at this table not for our own sake, but for yours, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the joy of it. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Anne McFarlane has chosen our last hymn. It is number 493 for those of you who use a book. And once I fumble my way through, I'll read you the first line. It is, "Dear Master, in whose life I see." Yes? Good. Right, we join to sing. Let us go from this place and to be part with those who would feed the hungry, hungry for food, hungry for justice, hungry for love, hungry for company too. And now may the blessing of God be with us and those who we love wherever they are, for now, forever. Amen.